sweaty, unbrushed hair. Yeah, Survivor. There's so much that he has to do in the house. Not from here. Yeah, have to do the very active life to it. I think I'm going to get a move down as a lifeline on it. I feel like that'll get us through the day.
First things
first. Get the new best.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. We're going to get started here in a sec. People are still trickling in, or maybe they're taking Father's Day off. I wouldn't blame them, right? Sometimes you gotta stop to appreciate the little things. But we're going to persevere. A couple announcements. We're going to be short-handed over the summer months. Judd is already gone to the communist gulag up north called Canada. So hopefully he'll come back a freedom-loving American still, Victor, or if Chairman Trudeau is... Okay, all right, I'll stop. That's my whole shtick. Usually I just do it to tease my sister-in-law, but she's not here, so I'll stop. So Judd's gone for a few weeks, and Ashley's jet-setting off to paradise. And I know that we'll have kind of the summer months when people go on vacation, so it'll be a little hit and miss, but we are going to persevere and keep heading true north. So if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes, I'll begin with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for Father's Day. We wouldn't be here without them. We appreciate the work that they do, the commitment and the sacrifice that they give. It's important to take days to recognize people and give gratitude and love and affection for those who are in our lives, both, you know, parental parents or fathers or father figures. Guidance and leadership are such an important thing in today's world. So help us as we continue gathering here. Give us ears to hear and minds to think about what you would have us do with our lives, Lord. Thank you for giving us this time in the middle of a crazy world, in the middle of a crazy week, to take a step back and think about things that are higher than bills and rent and all of the normal things that occupy our minds on a day-to-day basis. So come and fill this place up with your Spirit and help us to think about you and love you and express our gratitude for the things that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Page 562, Be Thou My Vision, page 562.
Yeah. ever heard that country song where the tagline is, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was? Okay, I'm not as good as I ever was. We put it together. Put on a good little program here. Oh. Oh, I love that. Let's see. Close look. Oh, that song? It's hilarious. Anyway, we're going to do some praise if you'd like to stand and join. I reorganized all the praise stuff. We're still going to do the same songs for now. And hopefully the slides will go a little better. More from the top.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord.
Good organizing, Ash. You guys will just listen to us. We're going to go with what we have here because it's easier for the musicians to not adjust
them. Use the force.
Use the force. Here we go. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome
by your presence,
Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Thank you for singing. You may be seated. While we're adjusting here, I hope you don't mind if I take the opportunity to say one little thing. I consider myself an expert judgment in what it means to have a good father. And on this day, I'm sad because I'm thinking of my dad, the best father anyone could have. But my life was so rich and full with him, I just treasure that more than I let myself be sad. But what I wanted to say to all the men here, young and old, you don't have to have a child to have paternal qualities and to bless the people around you with paternal qualities. Kindness, gentleness, strength, this kind of love that is paternal love. And so I just want to thank all the men here, young and old, whether you have children or don't, thank you for carrying those qualities, for expressing them to me, even if you're not my dad, even if you're my brother, and you just love me and think I'm great, and you're good and kind and gentle and strong. Those are the qualities of a good father, whether you have children or not. So I just want to thank all the men here, and I know the ladies join me in that, for being good men, for being here. Anyway, thank you.
I'm a little misty now. I got to clear my eyes out. Acts chapter 9, the conversion of Saul. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Now as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." Immediately he got up, and all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon.
Morning, everybody. I'm not going to futz with the stands today. We'll do it live. I feel a little out of sorts right now. We're going to persevere. I've been doing a lot of research on the Apostle Paul. In my research, I've also found there have been some historical things that I took for granted because they were told to me by people I trusted and who are learned in history. But like many of the things about the Council of Nicaea are more nuanced the more that I learn about them. And so that causes me to take a step back. But the more that I learn, the gray areas don't make me afraid. Traditional theology has it's all or nothing. So if you question anything, then the whole thing is up in the air. But I believe that's antithesis to the gospel and the Holy Spirit. Whatever the truth is, that's the truth, right? We're just spending our time trying to find it. You know, I used to sometimes think when Dad was preaching, dude, don't give everybody both barrels all the time. We're always going to be this tiny church because you just blast everybody out of the church. But on the other hand, if you're genuinely and consistently and painstakingly searching for the truth, why would you spend your time on frivolity? I get that. So I'm trying to find somewhere in the middle, not just blast everybody every day, but also you got to have integrity. If you're just saying things so people come and sit here, then that doesn't make you any different than McDonald's, right? Are you loving it, Aiden? How would I even know? Anyhow, so I remember Dad's journey and his earnestness and his integrity, and it gives me courage and strength. Because at the end of the day, all you got is to be able to look yourself in the mirror. Your family, your friends, everyone else who are so important in this life. But at the end of the day, you wake up alone and you go to sleep alone. And if you can't look yourself in the mirror, then all else is nothingness. Doesn't matter if you make a million friends. So I always appreciated that about Dad. And I will say this. I was thinking the other day about like how he, Dad used to talk about age-long life, right? And people used to just, right? How could he get all crazy and huffy? I would argue this following thing. If you went 400 years ago and before then, even less than 400 years ago, 200 years ago and before, the average lifespan was 30 years. And so most people got married when they were 16, had a job and in their career by their 20s because they're like, I got to get this show on the road. We all expect to live much longer than that, into our 80s. So who's to say, with medicine, science, divine revelation, how long the human body is supposed, right? People in 200 years who are living age-long lives may look back at our petty existence the way that we look back on medieval, right? You understand? If you went back to Pope Urban II and said, yo, man, you should be living till you're 100 years old, but there's bacteria, tiny living things inside your body that wage war and the white blood cells, he'd be like, you're a madman, burn him. You understand what I'm saying? Like, conventional wisdom is what often holds us back. In 500 years, who knows what humans will be capable of? And to say this is all of our potential based on what we know right now is the height of folly. So who in 500 years, science is an explanation for God's work. They're not at loggerheads. They are symbiotic. They work together, right? God created every single thing. Science is our human way of learning and explaining it. So dinosaurs existing doesn't mean that God didn't create the world. It just means he didn't do it in a week like we thought when we learned it in kindergarten. That doesn't disprove our beliefs. It just explains them in a different way. Anyhow, that was all for free. I was going to talk about the Apostle Paul. And I used to have a pretty strong stance, Connie, on Thomas Jefferson. I feel like he's been coasting on his reputation for years. That was not a very, you know, before that musical, the hip-hop musical Hamilton came out, I'm going to sound like an old-school punk rocker. I liked them before they were cool. But I was preaching Alexander Hamilton's praises 25 years ago, and I take a dim view on Thomas Jefferson. I think he's, I always tell my kids, words are nothingness, actions, you know, people who cheat on their wives don't go home every night to their wives and say, I hate you and I'm cheating on you. They say, I love you, and then they go out and do terrible things. It's the actions that are the important thing, not the words. So you can write the flowery language all you want, but if you are owning slaves and, you know, doing all kinds of terrible things to them, you're not a sphinx, you're not a mystery, you're just a hypocrite. And I also take a pretty dim view on the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to take one of these days to tag him pretty hard. Most of traditional theology comes not from the teachings of Jesus, but from the teachings of Paul. If you look at the New Testament, there's 27 books. Of those 27, 14 are about or written by Paul, a man who never saw Jesus, not once, other than the vision. Peter, Thomas, all of the other 12 disciples listening to Jesus every day, what happens to them? All of a sudden, Paul, who was persecuting them for years, all of a sudden, he becomes the person who writes all of the letters. All of the things that we think about, homosexuality and drinking and tattooing and all of that stuff that people get so hung up about, that's Paul, not Jesus. I'm not a Paulian. I'm a Christian because I follow Jesus Christ, not Apostle Paul. Right? How on earth can we spend 2,000 years arguing over what somebody, you know what I'm saying? If Jesus Christ says it, I want to listen. And Paul has some good words, just like all mortal men, good words and bad words. But the fact that women have been subjugated for thousands of years, and then when they say anything, the book says, Paul says, a woman is supposed to be learned in science. Silence, sorry. How many people have been repressed? I was watching a documentary on Molly houses. Molly houses are what, back in the 1700s, when homosexuality was illegal, men who were gay would have to meet secretly, and the slang for the people who were not were called Molly houses, and the police would raid them and hang everybody by the neck. I heard you're gay. You gotta die. Where on earth would they get this idea? From Paul. Jesus doesn't say thou shalt not be gay. And now here we are, thousands of years later, and the Christians are, we spend all our time trying to pray the gayness out of young men instead of focusing on ourselves. It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. How long will we do this? And if you go into any church and say that, they will throw you out on your rear end. I just don't get it. But that brings me to my actual sermon today. And the sermon is about trying to find truth. Trying to find meaning and substance and peace. All of the things that our Heavenly Father wants for us. We are born with them. If you look at a child, kindergartner, leave them in a room. They are filled with joy. They're living the dream. Playing hide and go seek, running around, tagging each other. They just love it. They're filled with energy. They're filled with vigor. They're filled with love of life and love for, you ever see two little kids hugging each other and just, when does it end? When does it stop? When do we become self-conscious and thinking about our bodies? When do we start putting labels on people and judging people based on their race? When does it happen? over the years, the devil piles things on, piles them on. But inside, we still have it. And everybody knows this. Hindus call it enlightenment. Buddhists call it awakening. Christians call it being born again. That genuine feeling of the love and excitement that you had once when you were a child, that you lose over the course of time as we listen to the devil's lies, and it gets covered up and it covered up and covered up. Hide it under a bushel. No. I want to let it shine. All of the things that I had when I was a child that I've spent so many years uncovering. But how do I find that? That's the issue. People write books about it. They go to seminars. They go to church looking for a way to find that thing that they had, that they still have. It's that search. John the Baptist says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. I'll start with 9 and I'm reading to 10. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. People think that that means people. Any person who does not bear good fruit will be thrown into the fire. I would say that that's ridiculous. So the pastor who accepted Jesus into his heart but then has been cheating on his wife for 20 years, which is the good fruit? Does he get thrown in the fire? Is he a tree that gets cut down? Or the Muslim man who lives his life patiently, kindly, and goodly, but he didn't accept Jesus into the heart? He's the one who doesn't bear good fruit? What's the good fruit? What's the good fruit? The good fruit is the things that Jesus talks about. Goodness, faithfulness, love, peace, joy, all of those things. Anything that doesn't produce those must be cut out and thrown into the fire, whatever it is. So the issue is not, is drinking alcohol a bad thing? Does drinking alcohol cause you to bear bad fruit? If it does, cut it out. It's not black and white. I love video games. Like I've said, my mother does not. She doesn't have to grapple with, should I be playing these games as much as I do? Is there anything wrong with playing video games? No. However, if I ignore something that is good to play video games, then I'm not producing the good fruit and it has to be cut out. So my dad got all crazy about the Lakers games and going to movies because he's thinking about what bears good fruit. Does eating popcorn and drinking Sprite with my wife while watching Air Bud, does that produce good fruit? Well, yeah, it does. I'm spending time with the woman that I love. Does eating too much popcorn and drinking too much Sprite bear good fruit? No, therefore I cut that out. Each and every one of us, in each and every circumstance, what is causing us to bear good fruit? And what is causing us not to bear good fruit? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. With diligence. See, I'm of a mind, and I believe wholeheartedly, that happiness and fulfillment can be found anywhere. With perseverance, with integrity, we can find what we need inside of us already. The example I always use is Anthony Bourdain. Those of you who know who he is, I loved the guy. I thought he was so smart and witty. He was a writer and he was a food critic and he was just kind of a genuine, authentic guy. And he traveled around the world. He had different shows. And he used to be a chef in New York and he would do these kinds of things. And he was at the top of his game. And he hung himself in a hotel in France. And the reason that I say that is, if somebody was like, hey, Gabe, would you rather work at Trader Joe's or would you rather travel the world meeting interesting people and getting paid millions of dollars? I would say, well, I'll take the second choice. To me, looking at his life, that's paradise. You made it, dude. That's it. That's what I want. You got money. You got fame. You got to see the world. All of the things that people want to post on Instagram, brother, you got it. And yet, he was still so tied up that not only could he not see what he had, but he could not even see a reason for waking up another day. If you are not happy, there is nothing out there that will ever make you happy. And if you already are happy, there's nothing out there that can take it away from you. That's the gospel. That's the beauty. The Holy Spirit can lead you into joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all good fruit. Here in Hawaii, maybe not in Las Vegas, but anywhere else. It's already inside. Anything else adds to it. A vacation with your family, that's the gravy on top. The video games with your son, that's the gravy on top. But the meat and potatoes is the joy that we can find through the Holy Spirit and tenacity. I can be just as happy stocking almond milk as I could be traveling the world for CNN. My joke is I'm already happy broke, so I might as well be happy rich. But the point is, we look into ourselves and find joy. And that joy, that peace, will help us to find it outside as well. When I am at odds with myself, when I am producing bad fruit, no amount of words... I always use Jude because she's not here. I love my children more than I could ever explain to anybody. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them. But when I'm stressed and tired and unhappy, what's inside blocks me from connecting with them. And so when I see them doing something that I don't want them to do or not doing something that I'd like them to do, I want to connect with them and say, listen, man, I'm trying to, but when I'm upset, it doesn't come out right. And they go, why do you get it? I can't even tell you, and you don't even. And they just block it off because of course they should. Who's going to listen to a ranting madman? And no amount of bluster and threats and intimidation and life lessons are ever going to get them to do what I want them to do. The more I can focus on myself, and Lord, it is so hard, and clear out the junk, then I've got the love, peace, and patience that I need, and they can see it. And all of a sudden, boom, the connection is made. And the thing that I wanted to happen happens. When I'm working on myself, I'm radiating it out, and my bosses see it. When I'm not radiating it out, when I'm not working on myself, then everything falls apart. And no matter what I do, I'm grasping at straws. I cannot get it to go, and it all falls apart. It's inside. Anything that does not bear fruit must be cut away. Not for them, not for him. He's already forgiven us. For ourselves. Your resentment, Gabriel, you have to let it go. Not for them. You got to throw it in the fire for yourself. Your bitterness, your anger, your frustration, your lust, you got to cut it out. Not for them. They may never see or know or care. For you. For me. For the life that I want. Is there enough trips to Paris that I could ever take? Finally, I'm happy. I did it. Is there enough stuff that I could, enough video game trophies that, I beat Elden Ring. Okay, here we go. We're good. We're good. Everything's good. Is there enough money? Is there enough sex? Is there enough anything that could ever fill up? It's already in there. You have a 5-year-old in a room. They'll just be happy. They'll play. They'll cut their own hair so it looks like terrible. They're living the dream because they haven't piled on all of the nonsense. They haven't piled on all the political... They haven't piled on all of the junk that we just feed into every day. Paul said, being gay is a sin, so I'm going to spend every day going out and finding them. There is not enough tea in China that can ever change other people. You can only change yourself. And in so much as you can, be a witness to somebody else who might see it and who might have that spark and think, dude, I want that. I want it. I played basketball on Wednesday. I was walking like a tin soldier for the rest of the week. And I didn't play very well. I played all right. The D'ing up Hector, you know, grabbing those boards. But I wasn't playing like I used to. And the devil said, look at you, man, you're old, brother. You're old. What are you doing out here with these young guys, man? You can't do it. You're old. And the rest of the day, I was all down on myself. Stupid dude. Can't even think. If you would have passed the ball, I would have got my thing. That's bad fruit. The good fruit is that desire to go back out and play like a kid, to be young again. Leap ye lame. That's the good fruit. Anything that causes me to be unhealthy, cut it out. Anything that causes me to look down on my fellow man, you gotta cut it out. Spend all day looking on Instagram and thinking about if your life was white picket fence. Spend all day on Facebook sending political messages to people who don't give a crap, Aiden. That's what he wants. He wants you all over here looking at all of them. Because as long as you're looking at them, you're not looking at him who's got you locked up. For years, I spent so much time chasing women, chasing dope, chasing anything that I thought would make me happy. Spoiler alert, none of it did. It wasn't until I was able to look inside myself that I get even a moment. Even now, I'll get a couple moments of peace and then I'll see something. Walk by my daughter's room. I spent 2 hours on Instagram the other day. Looking through. Oh, look, they're dancing the thing. Oh, the cat got the thing. Nothing wrong with that. Unless it keeps me. Because some of that stuff, I look and I see the people in the beach in their swimsuits. And then I think, wait, why don't I? How come I? And then I start thinking about what I'm missing, what I don't have. They got the perfect life. Look at you, Gabe. Your daughter won't even clean her room. And he's got me looking at other people. Anything that does not bear good fruit must be cut out. From things that are blatantly obvious to the granularity of should I watch less Lakers. The more you do it, the better you get at it. I spent years not knowing that I was an arrogant jerk. This is walking around. This is, look at those. Some kid wearing a Tupac shirt, and I would just rant and rave about how he doesn't know hip-hop, as if I was in NWA in the 80s wearing Raiders gear. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see all of the stuff that I had piled on myself. And it doesn't mean that you need to feel self-loathing. You arrogant jerk, Gabe. It's just like, you got to humble yourself, Gabriel. You got to humble yourself. You got to do a little bit better. You got to work a little bit harder. You have to be a little bit more patient. Inside, finding anything that doesn't bear good fruit, taking out the axe, the Holy Spirit, and cutting it out and throwing it in the fire, burning it up. I'm almost done. I was at Trader Joe's last night, and I walked outside. I was taking the trash out, and somebody was smoking a cigarette. People hate the smell of cigarettes unless you've smoked, at which point they smell like pumpkin pie, y'all. And I smelled it, and it smelled good. What? How? It's the lie. It's the lie. I had to cut it out. Throw it in the fire. You can't ever have it, Gabriel. I normally don't think about it. I normally don't want it. Sometimes. You may not have that. You may smell cigarettes. Like, so you don't have to deal with that. But that's something I got to deal with because of the actions that I took in the past. You may have difficulty getting to the gym. You may have difficulty drinking too much Dr. Pepper. Sorry, dude. He's the best. I love him so much. I don't have that issue. Does that mean that Dr. Pepper's bad? No. But if you're drinking too much of it, you got to cut it out. Sorry, Aiden, that was unfair. Whatever it may be that's keeping you, you got to cut it out. The question becomes, how do you know who's who in the zoo? The Holy Spirit. We pray about it. And if we are diligent, it will reveal to us that which needs to be cut out. It could start out with easy things, right? Maybe you shouldn't do this so much. Maybe you shouldn't do that so much. Maybe you should do a little bit more of this. And with perseverance and patience, He will be faithful to lead you into all of the things that you need to fix. You may not be an arrogant person like I was. I always marvel at people who can sit and listen in a conversation. I'm like, a million. So people who are just quiet, I'm like, how does it, I don't even. The awkward silence is like my kryptonite. So I just like, keep it going. I got my own stuff that I got to cut out. You got your own stuff you got to cut out. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to identify those things. And the more you cut out, you will reap the rewards in your relationships, in your jobs, in your body, in your outlook on life. Anthony Bourdain had everything that most of us mere mortals dream of. Fame, money, love, a fulfilling job. But he was lied to. There were things he had not cut out, and it got him. He's in heaven now. Doesn't make him a bad person. It just breaks my heart. Because I loved him. A celebrity I didn't know. I enjoyed the TV he made. And it hurts to think of him suffering like that. To see the kids out living on the street. They're not sinners damned to hell. The people who are suffering, they will reap the benefits and the consequences. The wages of sin is death, and He is faithful to collect. He will get his pound of flesh. Believe me. But greater is he who is in me than he who is against me. The years that I spent, I pay. I pay. But the work that I'm doing now, I get paid. I get paid in the way my children look at me. I get paid in being able to be here with you all. I get paid in waking up this morning. I get paid in the peace of my mind, the happiness in my life. That's mine. That's mine that I took through cutting it out. And I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to keep on doing it. And who knows, maybe I'll live as long as a tree. Maybe I won't. But whatever I cut out, I'll be the one. I used to smoke cigarettes and think to myself, how will I ever quit? How will I ever quit? I couldn't go 2 hours without smoking. And I thought, how? I would despair out in the back. My kids are inside. I'm smoking a cigarette. How will I ever get back? I did it. I did do it. It was hard. It was painful, but I did it. In all things, it's the same for each and every one of us. Whatever your things are, pray about them. He will reveal them to you. Be faithful to work at them. And you will get all of the rewards, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. It is ours. It's our birthright. We were born with it, and he's trying to take it away, and we're not going to let him. For 2,000 years, not going to let him. We're just not going to let him do it anymore. Whether it comes from here or here, out there, it can be ours. It will be ours. Thank you for giving me this time. Thank you. I was talking with Carrie Alanis. She took pictures of Darcy, and she had posted them on, and it brought me back. And one day, I will see her again. And she'll say, good job, dude. And every day, between now and that day, I'm going to work on me. Work on me to the point where my children clean their room, but to where they look at me the way that I want them to. Happy Father's Day. What Ashley said was so good, so right, dude. Love it. Just because you didn't mix the ingredients, that doesn't mean anything. I love being a teacher because I feel like I get to make a difference in somebody's life. We all make differences in people's lives. Not by our words, but by our actions. They are seen, they are noticed. They are ours. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you for another day, for another week. You are our good Father. And you love us no matter what we do. Help us to listen to your guidance. Help us to hear your voice. Give us wisdom in being able to hear that and being able to follow it. Give us a plan, Lord, a vision for how to live our lives. When we hear your calling, help us figure out the path. Help us to identify roadblocks and traps. Give us strength and courage, Lord. Give us peace and patience and humility. Let us take a step back and listen. And listen and follow your voice. Cut out the garbage and follow you forward. Bind the devil from our lives. Bind him from our minds. Help us to hear you. Bring us back next week. Protect us and guide us. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
We're going to stand and close with the first verse of 516, Redeemed. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed.
The Beatles.
This is Nightlight 369 at Zoho, ZOHO.com.
At Zoho. Okay.
That's a little at sign. But,
okay.
Whatever you need to get anything from me, or whatever you want.
I already forgot the title of that. What was it?
Okay.
That's the one that I was having trouble with.
You have a smartphone?
Yes.
You can take a picture of it if you want. That's
a good idea.
That's what I do sometimes.
I don't have the iPhone.
Are you ready?
email to you.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, send me stuff, or send me your email, and send you whatever you need.
Okay. Thanks, Emilio.
All right, buddy. Thank you.